Good morning, Big Tao Man. Shane, stop having imaginary conversations with people who are not here.
Hello, yes, I am.
Because it's good fun. Ah, fuck. Yes, my first big sort of shopping trip in about a month. The freezers are completely empty of meat and vegetables. Nice warm day, a few k's, engine's warmed up, that's good. Just had a moment of sort of sadness about the old Jack the Cat, you know what I mean? You know, he's getting a bit old and, you know, if he eats the food that doesn't agree with him, he just shits where he is, kind of stuff, you know. And I don't get mad about it, I just think, oh well, he's old, you know what I mean. But I wish when he wanted to go for his shit that he'd go outside when I open the door, you know. But that's life. Yeah, sitting in the car, admiring the fucking the air conditioning, sitting there going, oh fuck, it's hot. It's not cooling me down. Oh my god, oh my god, oh fuck, oh, 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 oh. And there's a little switch in the circuit to some relays. But when the fan is turned on and just blowing hot air, you then press the button and it says air conditioning. You know? Well, I guess you're sitting there like a damn fool going, oh my god, that's, oh fuck, travelling in the summer, oh, no air conditioner, you know. And after 5 minutes, it's like, oh, press the button. Now it works. Fuck, Shane, you're so clever. Fucking genius, mate. So anyway, old Jack's getting a bit old. And I just stopped under some gum trees. Any branches? Oh, I don't know, it's the only shade around, you know. And
I shouldn't sit here saying cunts of things. They might hate me and drop a big branch on me and kill me. Come on, bird. And so I was just sitting there eating a quick breakfast at the crack of noon. And here's one of those horribly narrow little fucking bridges. And so anyway, I was sitting there eating my breakfast at the crack of noon, and I just had that thought about, you know, taking dear old Jack off to be euthanized, you know, take him at the vets, you know. You know, because he's getting real old, you know. And sort of, he's not fucked yet. Well, he's not completely fucked. But, he's not that far off it, you know. He still gets out at night, he's very active all night and all this sort of stuff, but, you know, he's just getting thinner and thinner and thinner. You know, he looks like one of those, I don't know if you ever explore abandoned buildings and, you know, underneath the floorboards sort of places, that it's one of those places that cats get into and they might be accidentally locked in or they can't get back out or whatever, you know. And then they just sort of run out of food, and or they just sort of run out, they've got no food and water, and then they just sort of slowly die, you know. And it might be 3 to 5 or 10 years later, someone goes in there and there's just like a bag of sort of worm-eaten bones, you know. Sort of bit of skin and wrapped around a few old bones and shit like that, you know what I mean? And that's what's all that's left of the cat. Well, he's starting to look a lot like that while he's alive, you know? His fur is sort of going and, you know, starting to get a little bit patchy and all that shit, you know? And for some reason, Peanuts is occasionally getting very sort of distressed. He's becoming very vocal, and I don't know why. I suspected that he might be looking at me and going, "You're about to fall over dead," and you know, I'm very worried that if I've got a home without you, it won't be much of a home, you know. That's what I'm sort of gathering. Yeah, but of course, he's a bit of a not exactly sort of Down syndrome, but he was taking, I think, you know, the general consensus is that he was taken off the tent far too early. He was weaned far too young, you know. And so, he needed to sort of be mothered, you know, as a young kitten, and he was a bit of a sort of little bit late in sort of getting over that, and he had a really desperate need to fucking bond, and so I bonded with him, you know. And that was a good experience, you know. And he's sort of, he's not sort of, handicapped in a sort of intellectual sort of way. He's just, you know, got some significant peculiarities. And, he's an incredible hunter. Fuck, he's good, you know. You know, he's very wary of anywhere a snake could be. And he's very open to where there could be a mouse just around the corner, or, you know, there'll be a gap between some things, and you'll come up to that gap at about 1/10 of a mile an hour, you know, ready to, and he's so silent, and he moves, so he's like a praying mantis, sort of a ninja, sort of a, very skilled. Probably one of the best ones I've ever seen. So yeah. So dear old Jack's, you know, getting close to the end of his life. And I don't want him to die. I just sort of, you know, I'm sort of looking at him every couple of days and thinking, you know, he might be sitting, lying there asleep, and I'm thinking, is he dead, you know? And I'll sit there and I'll watch him, look for him breathing and all that, you know? And, you know, hoping that he's not, but it's sort of inevitable. Yeah, I don't want that to happen at all. You know, because it's been really good having him around the place, you know, sharing a home with him. This is what happens. One day, dead the next. It's coming for us all. yeah. I guess those are sort of in that sort of sense, it sort of that makes me a father, I guess, you know. I've never had any children of my own, you know, and you know, these cats are, they're the family. So all of them are de-sexed, and you know, they get sort of wormed every 6 months, and some flea drops and shit when, you know, the season's on, you know. And trips to the vet when something bad happens, you know. So, yeah. Don't you like the fucking bags, you know, you buy some, say, four dim sims and put a bit of sauce in there, soy type sauce, brand new, not a brand new, but a freshly washed top, and the bag's leaking. They get all these big spots of fucking sauce, you know. I don't think it's anything to go homicidal about, but, you know, I at least try to keep them clean, you know. And I hate it when it's like, you know, you've got food stains down your front. Yeah, you know, partly maybe from your own personal habits. But if the food stains, you know, down the front are from just a fucking leaking bag, you know. Leaking bag on a bloody containing soy sauce sort of stuff, you know. Yeah. So a little peanut is he's normally silent, you know, normally says very little. But that's okay. I think that's what sort of being a responsible parent about is, a be, is sort of about looking after them, you know what I mean? Making time to give them a bit of love and affection, a bit of reciprocity, and to look out for them, you know? And just being a friend. But that's that thing, you know what I mean? When they've been a part of the family, or they are the family, you know, when they get old and sick or die, or you can see it coming, you know, you can see the end, you know, and now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. I've lived a life that's full, of which I am certain. I've been, na 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 na, but in every byway, more, much more than this, I did it my way. I think I'd do an outro on the Sex Pistols for this, but yeah. I think that's, you know, this is just part of life, and it's, but it can be so absolutely heartbreaking. As one of my old sponsors used to say, you know, he pointed out, there was a woman in Ballarat, and this is about 25, 30 years ago. And her name was Jan Moran. She'd been a junkie, but living in a, you know, just locked up in a box all by herself with nothing but a cat, you know. And she'd been that way for a long time, and she'd sort of, I'm not sure of the full story, but she'd sort of gone into, I think she was sort of assorted sort of mental sort of illnesses or something, and or difficulties, you know. And so there was just her and a cat for a long time, and as she started coming to Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous and that, and then I think she's drugged, this is like snatching at farts in a fan factory, you know. Very fucking nebulous memory. And so, you know, and I think her cat of like 10 or 12 years had been killed by a car or something, had run it over or something like that, you know, I forget. And anyway, her whole fucking life crashed, because that was her sole companion kind of thing, you know. And so that's what the old sponsor, Bruce the Goose, that's what he told me. He said, you know, when people are in that sort of position, that can just fucking be so totally devastating. You know? And it's not exactly that way for me. I just look at what passes for normal, I think. This is just so fucking insane, you know. I know what it's like to come from a family full of fucking crazies, you know, like in all directions. And Narcotics Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous are filled with fucking people like that, you know. But some of them do something about themselves and they improve and they get better, you know what I mean? I've seen it happening. And you know, and then you sort of start to mix with the big wide world, then you realise that there's a lot of what is passed off as normal . You know what? What sort of gets passed off as normal? Is actually just as crazy to varying degrees as my fucking family, you know? And you know, so you know what, just you know, people are such people are like very, very soft bread dough, and all these influences, they're meant to sort of absorb everything they can that's going on around them so that they can learn how to survive it. And it's an adaptation for, you know, dealing with lions and tigers and fucking bears and crocodiles and you know, and other people, other tribes, you know, and so any sort of really sort of dysfunctional and fucked up sort of experiences, people will biologically and psychologically sort of adapt to those environments and those experiences. And so this goes on throughout their entire fucking life, you know? And, you know? So, this kind of explains how so many people become so sort of fucked up and they're kind of in a rut, you know, with, I don't know about you young people, but years ago there was, an audio editing technique using recording tape, you know, polyester tape with magnetic film on it, and so they'd cut these fucking tapes to different lengths, then they'd play them out, then they'd play them, and then they'd join the ends together so you'd have a loop. So that's what the looping. What's the word? So that's what, you know, there's a lot of us, you know, that when we're screaming at the kids or the dog or the cat or something, or fucking going off our nut about something, you're thinking, fuck, I'm carrying on just like my mother, I'm carrying on just like my father, you know, fuck, you know, or, you know, some of the really helpful people will say, geez, you sound just like your mother. Fuck, you're just like Dad when he's really angry, you know. Because we sort of, I don't think this is a absolute all or nothing. This is just part of one of the sort of pieces of the jigsaw in the jigsaw puzzle, you know. That we kind of don't, we do develop our own personalities, you know what I mean? But part of that is, this is a good answer. Part of that is that we become a combination of all our experiences, you know? And, you know, yeah, the air conditioning is starting to run out of legs. Meaning that the cabin is getting hotter at this high speed. All the glass and all this other sort of stuff is just sort of heating up. The heat coming into the cabin, the heat leaking in, the heat transferring into the cabin is sort of getting sort of up there towards the limits of the air conditioner's capacity to remove it. You know? Yes, and those geriatric fucking men I've had the sort of horror of driving through the countryside with, they come to an intersection, you know what I mean? And they don't see the intersection that they're coming up to, and they don't go, well, I'm about half a K away from the turnoff or from the crossroads, so I start looking south, and then I start looking north to see if any fucking thing's coming, you know what I mean? Of course, if there's nothing coming, I can either just pass straight through that intersection because I've got right of way, or if someone is drunk or senile or oblivious to what's going on, you know, I can prepare to sort of, I can anticipate. I can slow down and I can anticipate, you know. You know, their approach to the intersection, you know what I mean? It's better to slow down and come to a stop and just let them go flying through if they are fucking senile and oblivious, and if they're drunk, you know, off their face on drugs and shit, better to just let them go through rather than just get T-boned, you know? So every time I see these intersections, I go, I'm reminded of these powerful lessons that these senile old cunts, they'd go straight through whether they had the right of way or not, and I'm not sure that they even knew that they were at an intersection, you know, or that they were coming up to an intersection. Again, that's like part of that learning stuff, you know, your life experiences, your teachers, things to remember, you know. And yeah. So. And And yeah, so that's the sort of, yeah, we from sort of infant, sort of from the day we sort of born. You know, I don't know how far this sucker really goes back, you know. But, you know, oh, I saw God when I was in my mother's womb. You know. But yeah, we're a composite of all these fucking, I think partly how we learn how to rationalize and justify and process these experiences. This is why the Jew run TV networks and stuff are such fucking insidious mindfuck head games, you know, that we've all got to sort of watch the people on TV and then emulate how they do it, you know, to be fucking, you know, switched off fucking stupid people, you know. I think we need a bit of fresh air. Running out of oxygen. So that's what this is all about, you know what I mean? My journey in recovery basically means, you know, the drugs, you know, the alcohol, pot, powders, pills, all that sort of shit, you know what I mean? What they did is that they didn't make, I put this out there because I create a lot of original idea type stuff, and I say the drugs really didn't make me feel fucking great. That was the absence of feeling bad, you know, like there's no hope, there's no future, there's no way out of this. There was no hope. How in the hell can you learn how to deal with things if they've deprived you, if they were unable to deal with it? If they were unable to deal with anything themselves. And that meant because of how damaged and fucked up and how clinically insane, you know, mother, how fucked up they were themselves, they couldn't help you to help yourself. You know? So you're getting damaged by all the abuse and all the neglect, and then there's no way, you don't know. Yep, that's one. As my sister said, you know, much older sister, as she said, you know, you broke the number one rule of the family. You went outside of the family for help. You know, because if you're not getting it inside the family, you know, the number one rule is you've got to sort of keep it a secret, and you've got to stay quiet, and you're not allowed to speak up about it, you know what I mean? You know, so, yeah, you know. So, you know, and that's what it was. You know, the shame and the abuse and the neglect and all the fucking role modelling and the training and the grooming and the fucking manipulation and the fucking, that's a really big thing, you know. So we all have different backgrounds, we all have different experiences. Some of them are fucking almost identical, some of them are very fucking different, you know what I mean? You know, there'll be people who are almost clones of me in my life, you know, and there'll be people who have some experiences that are sort of the same and some that are very, very different, and then there'll be other people whose lives will be sort of completely different again, you know, that we won't have much in common, you know, as in sort of, you know. But this is all that sort of stuff, you know, forming a congruent picture, undoing the damage, putting the pieces back together and forming a congruent picture. That's what most of the last 36 years of my recovery has been about, you know, where you can sort of, it's not a memory accuracy test, you know, but where you can sort of remember enough in sufficient detail to correct what was wrong, you know. And, you know, many years, I get sort of, I tell this sort of enormous fucking lie just to grandiose it up a bit, you know. I mean, why have a plain statement when you can exaggerate things greatly, you know? Sometimes it's just having a bit of fun, you know what I mean? But I do get these kind of visions of perception and understanding, you know? And one of them was to go through my family where people were addicted to food, sex, drugs, gossiping, gambling, you know, drinking, or just obsessive compulsive mental cases, you know? Or they were the people who liked that environment, you know what I mean? They come from a family where, you know, mum's the junkie, so they go out and find men or women that are fucking junkies, you know, and try to have relationships with them because they never got to have those, a full and complete relationship with their mother or father. So they go out and pick fucked up people to, you know, as an emotional child, as an emotional child in an adult body. You know, they try and recreate those relationships so that they can bring them to completion and then sort of move out of the childlike sort of state and you know, become an adult. But the truth is that it's not the girlfriend or boyfriend's job to become your de facto fucking parent, you know? And if they're really fucked up, what you're doing is you're just sort of throwing coins into a bottomless wishing well, you know? You know, there's no sort of good fairy in there that's gonna heal you and undo all the damage. But the only good thing that can sort of come out of that is, you know, quit picking idiots and assholes and fucked up basket cases like mum or dad to be your fucking, you know, your substitute mother or father, you know. They can't do, it's not their job to be your parent and they can't do the fucking job and it's up to you to re-parent yourself. You know. So, you know, fuck. What a great thing to live in Australia and have a reliable car. Got no slow car to gauge my speed by. Yeah, the car's going up on blocks for like maybe a month, you know what I mean? Do a great big shopping expedition. Fill up everything. Take the car back home. Stick it up on blocks. Do all the service work it needs. And, you know, yeah, so this is what all this recovery process is about, you know. You know, and I don't sort of want to be always in recovery, you know what I mean? I kind of would like to do things with my life. You know? I'd like to, one of those books that was very, very helpful in my early recovery. You don't just sort of skim through and go, oh yeah, you know. I think the difference between me and a lot of other people is I went and got the book and then I worked my way through the book, and because when I came into recovery I was so far gone I could hardly even speak, you know, and it wasn't the amount of drugs and the fucking head injuries and all this sort of shit, you know, I was just really fucking damaged as a person, you know. Fuck, you know, I've seen about in my lifetime, I've seen about half a dozen people that are that fucked up, you know what I mean? Just damaged. And, so, I was sort of, you know how something's always there and when you pass it one day it's not there and you sort of, you really don't take much notice of it, you know, but then you sort of, you notice it when it's not there. One of the places I lived in for a while literally was a stone's throw from a big, you know, railway line, you know, with, there was about a three and a half k long, oh yeah, probably the whole incline from the big station in Melbourne, at the edge of Melbourne, Melbourne Central Business sort of district area sort of thing. That was about, you know, here the fucking cunts are. Yeah, the that's right, I've got to ring someone important. Important. And, funny looking car. It's either a cop car with lights flashing on it, or it's a bright red car with the sunlight sort of reflecting off it on a bouncy sort of road. But anyway, the yeah, so this is that whole sort of process of reintegrating and sort of becoming a whole and sort of well-balanced kind of person. Yeah, that book, it was called Toxic Parents by Susan Ford and Craig Buck. And, fuck, that was good, you know. But I first came across it at someone else's place at an NA convention up in Sydney, and Mr. and Mrs. NA having their Mr. and Mrs. NA marriage and at each other's throats, you know. But they had that book. Yeah, and this is how deep that sort of imprinting goes, you know. You're picking out people quite often, or just like one of your parents, you know, and then all the sort of bullshit going on in the relationship is based upon unmet needs of a child, and, you know, the angry sort of responses of a child, you know, and you know. So anyway, I ended up buying it, and that was a one-year drug free. I ended up buying a copy in hardcover, which was probably one of the best things I've ever done, you know. And so I read through it, and I was so far gone, it was kind of like, you know, here's, you know, I was able to dig a bit of dirt out and put in a bit of fucking, you know, a little bit of it took. But that little bit took enabled me to sort of get a grasp on a few more, because I just couldn't deal with anything, you know. And that little bit that took you know, when I reread it again a year later, about, you know, that had established a bit of a foundation in my mind, and I was able to put a bit more on it. But I reread the book about another year later, and I was able to build a bit more on it, you know what I mean? And by the time I got to the fifth reading, I was able to work my way through it, you know? And that, around about 5 or 6 years drug-free, you know. that book as a fucking workbook, you know. I'd write out, you know, I'd read all this sort of stuff and I'd get the highlighters and all this sort of stuff. But when it came to all the questions and answers and that, I'd write out, you know, in a big school exercise book, I'd write out all the answers and I'd write out all the questions and write out all my answers. And then I'd draw pictures and I'd recreate all of these events in a sort of, not really a novel type form, you know, like as in writing a book, but sort of more like snapshots of those parts of my life, you know, those issues, those instances, you know. And yeah, if you can get it, put in the effort to get hot, if you come from a really fucked up family, put in the effort to get the book and work your way through it, you know, getting a hardcover book. Get it in hardcover. And make good use of it. And so this is all that sort of, I guess, sort of therapeutic community, you know. And yeah. An AA group I attend online, and it's kind of good, sort of, you know, but there's a lot of fucking idiots and assholes. You know, they do really, really dumb shit, you know, and they turn everybody against them. And then, you know, they try to control, when people start fighting back, they get into this trying to control them and, you know, control what they say, and if they say or do anything that they don't like, they kick them out, which just makes them fucking angrier, you know? Because there's no way to kick these stupid fucking cunts out of service. You know? So then what then all these stupid cunts do is they then run around trying to control everybody and every little detail and everything that's said or not said or done or spoken about, and you know, you know. And they don't know sort of anything about the history of AA. That, you know, the history is kind of like the in the past, when AA sort of started getting going, there were so many fucking mental cases trying to run everybody else's lives and control everything that went on, that all these groups had all these fucking rules for membership, you know. So what happened is the head office, so to speak, they asked all the groups to send in their rules for membership, you know. And they figured out pretty quickly that if all the rules had been in place at any one time, no one could have joined AA, you know. So they said, well, you know, contrary to all the bloody membership rules and all this bullshit, you know, we're just going to have one fucking rule. That the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking, you know. That's it. Oh, these deadly dangerous trees. But I have a need for a wee.
It's probably not a good fucking sign. I'll get some fucking shade. Oh, I just wish. Yeah. Go and get you. Yes. I don't care. I was just sort of sitting there talking to, got out for a piss and then a fly landed on the window, you know. And all the top of the door and was sitting there looking at me. So I said, hello fly, hello little fella, how are you? Aren't you just lovely? You know, cleaning their eyes and cleaning their wings and making themselves clean and tidy. And I thought, I don't really care if people think I'm insane for saying hello to flies. You know, there's a thing with, I've noticed that, you know, one day I was out the back and come on, you got fucking room support. One day I was out the back and it'd been a cold night, not real cold. But it was a cold, sort of for where I live, you know what I mean? That's survivable by the flies, but you know, it was cold. And in the morning, there was a lovely little bit of warm sunshine on the side of coming down onto the flower pot, and the flies had gathered there. And the way that they flew around is that they'd be in the warm little spot for a few minutes, and then they buzz around and come back and land on the same spot. And the way they did it was in a kind of cheerful, you know what I mean? Because flies have incredibly short lifespans generally, and and they appeared to be just happy to be fucking alive and to be warm, you know. And there's a thing with, I don't know about all the flies in all of Australia, you know, or the rest of the world, but here, their lifespan is very temperature dependent, you know. And so, and the hotter it gets, like this, straight out really, really fucking cold, which will just kill them, you know what I mean? But the hotter it gets, the faster their metabolism gets. And if they don't fly into a web, you know, or get eaten by something else or whatever, their lifespan can be as short as about 3 days, you know? But if it's pretty sort of cool, not icy cold, but fairly cold, and they can get a little bit of food and all this other sort of stuff, I think they can like last, I can't quite remember if it was something like 3 months or 6 months or something, you know. But anyway, you know, I saw the flies on the flower pot, you know, dancing around and sort of fucking and dancing around and buzzing around and dancing around and all, and they appeared to be happy. And since then I've sort of appreciated that. I think, you know, flies are sentient. They're alive, they're aware, they're awake, you know. I don't think they'll like this sort of
these fucking deadhead, you know, scientist type people that go, well, they're like little machines, you know. You know, that they actually want to stay alive and they want to avoid being trapped or eaten or fucking killed, you know. And, yeah. So that's why I talk to flies. You know? I think they register the positive vibe, you know? And I think they're pleased to have a little bit of interspecies communication. Oh my God, that chain hand, he's a crazy, he talks to flies. Oh. Yeah, well, I'm happy, the flies are happy, and I really don't give a fuck, you know, what anybody else thinks. You know? Sort of stuff, you know, there's a lot going on in life, and you know, depending on how crazy your families are and crazy the communities are and all this sort of fucking bullshit, you know. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about, the thing with, you know, getting into being programmed by the fucking assholes who make all that shit for TV, you know, like Gilligan's Island or the Brady Bunch or Neighbours. Everybody loves Good Neighbours. Yeah. You know, they're all conditioned on how to react to things and how to sort of deal with issues. You know? So, you know, we get opportunities. You know, part of my stuff is I tell people, I tell entire fucking groups, I say, look, you know, there's only three kinds of people in AA or NA or whatever, you know what I mean? There's people who are going to show you what to do, or they're going to, you know, like, you don't have to fucking walk into a house fire to appreciate being burned. Or burned alive, you know what I mean? Merely, you know, getting dressed in front of a hot fucking fireplace, you know, like a pot belly stove or something, and bending over in your bare ass, touching the fucking hot metal. You know, you get an appreciation of what it's like to be burned. You just don't have to be burned so you're on fire, you know, and spend the next 3 years in hospital getting skin grafts, you know? So there's people who can show you what to do, and then there's people who have the brains and the experience who can advise you what to do, you know, and then there's people in the middle who they either need more time or they need to sort of process what they're dealing with. You know, some, they're saying they're sort of, you know, got a lot on their plate sort of stuff, something like that, or they're just idling their time, you know, wasting their time, just goofing off. That's the sort of middle area. And then there are people who are going to show you what not to do by doing it, or they're going to sort of demonstrate, you know, that they have knowledge and expertise on how to fuck themselves up, you know, and why there's reasons not to follow suit, you know. Getting a bit tired. But that's what I say in meetings. So there's only three kinds of fucking, you know, it simplifies, right? You don't need to go into endless detail and fucking endless nuances, you know what I mean? That's kind of the sort of, you know, I forget how I got into, how I led down this fucking rabbit hole, you know. But, yeah, maybe I'll review the video and rewatch the last 10 minutes. But that's, yeah, but that's what the sort of recovery's about, you know, getting, I'll watch this tonight when I fucking offload it, you know. That's what the fucking whole story is about. That when you, you know, you run across people in, yeah, that's it. When I run across people in meetings and they're just demented fucking cunts going, oh, you can't, you know, if I, someone says, oh, so fucking hard being sober, I nearly died drinking and that. And I said, well, I'd say to them some really insightful sort of comment like, well, it's a lot easier to sit there complaining sober than it is sitting there complaining when you're dead, you know? And some fucking malignant cunt of a fucking retarded human being will say, well, you can't say that, you can't say that, out you fucking go, you know? And that's what they do, is they make fucking these fucking spastic little cunts who really ought to get their teeth kicked down their fucking throat, you know. Just beat them to death with a cricket bat. These cunts have, because it's an online meeting, these cunts have got the controls and they're kicking people out for anything and everything, you know. So, because they've given me so much experience at these fucking cunts with their mile-wide attitudes and their bloody, and their fucking low IQ, you know. And their shoe-size IQs, you know. I've really hated them, and I still do, you know. Well, now, if I come across them, I'll just start paying out on them, fucking them up, you know what I mean? Sending shit, they have absolutely no problem with sending shit onto other people, fucking with them and bloody bullshit, you know what I mean? It's not their fucking meeting to kick out that people they don't like, you know what I mean? Some of them really are nasty, spiteful cunts. Some of them are just so fucking stupid, you know? God, there's this one guy, if I could have reached through the screen and just fucking killed him, I would have, you know. And I'm not into, you know, oh, protect the woman, you know what I mean. I saw this, there was this woman who was a really damaged individual, and she'd been whoring, and she'd been working the streets, and she'd been doing drugs, and she'd been in and out of jails and psych hospitals and just a fucking mess, you know what I mean? And she was just barely hanging on by her fingernails, you know? She was just keeping it together, and she was so incredibly damaged. And this fucking guy, you know, this fucking retarded cunt didn't like her, didn't like what she had to say for herself, didn't like her being in the meeting. So this cunt started kicking her out, you know. And then she sort of came back, you know, and she said, what'd you kick me out for, fucking rah, 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 so he does it again. And so there's a whole heap of fucking outrage over what this guy was doing. You know, and she was just being, you know, I don't think you have to be too particular about, you know, being offensive in AA and NA, you know what I mean? There's obviously, if you want to deal with your issues, fine, and how you choose to express yourself in a room of lying, scheming, thieving, murdering, fucking just scumbag fucking junkies with all sorts of fucking issues, you know. You know, saying the F word is a little bit, oh my God, I'm so offended, you know. Oh my God, you know. As Bob Earl used to say, you know, you realise that they're saying fuck in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, you know. And, yeah. And that poor chick, you know, she was, you know, I'm not here to save women, you know. Fuck, you do what it takes to sink yourself, too bad, you know. But what I did, yeah. That guy, someone should have just dragged him out and shot him, you know. They should have fucking done him in. You know, this fucking mental case should never have been chairing meetings. But there's a lot of them like that, you know. There's a fucking real lot of them. And, you know, I've developed that thing, you know. There's three kinds of people. You need all of them. I don't like them. I don't like their fucking bullshit. But, you know, they teach you lessons that you can't get anywhere fucking else, you know. That's that thing of like, you know, there's an old saying that there's an old saying that, you know, holding a cat by the tail will teach you things that you could never have learned in any other way. And so, you know, by going into open warfare mode with these fucking cunts in the meetings, I've turned into someone who's pretty fucking formidable. You know, I'm pretty sort of, you know, you do your dirty fucking sneaky shit with your attitude, you do that shit with me and I'll just confront you in front of the whole fucking meeting. No problems, you know? And, yeah, so that's what it's like, you know? So these skills in meetings of being able to express myself, to be able to, you know, focus pretty much, not so much on the personalities, but on the principles. You know, this is what you've been fucking doing. And you're an absolute fucking cunt for doing it. So fucking knock it off, you know. You know. That kind of stuff. So you need enemies. You need enemies for intelligence. You need enemies for character development. You need, you know, enemies to teach you, give you the opportunities to learn about strategic thinking and how to get results and all this sort of stuff, you know. So, you know, never sort of complain about, you know, having fucking cunts in your life
they're all good for you, you know? Thank you.